this life is all right. Let's all stand by your way.
Group. Amen. The more you pull from them, the more they're going to bang harder and harder and harder. Hallelujah. Lord, let's sing us one song, then we're going to change over the service. My mother-in-law, Sister Audrey, this is hers. The world will try to satisfy that longing in your soul.
If you could have the fame and fortune.
fortune, all the wealth you could attain, yet you have not Christ within. Your living here would be in vain. There'll come a time when change shall call you. Experience his peace in a time of need. I pray you seek it. It's wonderful that he gets you through a lot of days of trouble. Amen. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the world God impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope in this world. Wherever we roam, the word of God will guide us home. Word of God, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart holy words of our faith to this age. Oh, see the faithful words of Christ, holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Word of God ever true, changing me, changing you. Come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart.
Amen. How many is glad to be in the house of the Lord this evening? Amen. Good to see each one of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Stuff together. I'm not sure. Try it. Do F. Where's Adam at? Come here, Adam. Adam don't like people to know that he can sing. He's a man of many talents. Huh? Some lawyers can win, and the doctor can heal.
Your old banker can lend till your pockets are filled. But if yours is a case of a sin-stricken soul, for the problems you face, there's only one place to go. Just climb up that mountain where still strings a fountain of that sparkling crimson called Calvary's flow. That same Jesus you've heard of can take a black heart without love. He can wash it with red blood, make you whiter than snow. Cause you can't play the cards like that's in the deal. For the Bible has planned who the loser's gonna be. There's only two winning hands and they were nailed to a tree. Just climb up that mountain where still springs a fountain of that sparkling crimson called Calvary's flow. That same Jesus you've heard of can take a black heart without love. He can wash it with red blood, make you whiter than snow.
Yes, he can wash
it with red blood, make you whiter than snow.
Amen. Amen. How many can say you've been to that fountain? Been washed whiter than snow. And it's still powerful just the same it was 2,000 years ago. He stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And it was powerful back then in the mind of God. And it's still powerful today. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know about y'all, it feels real. Yes. Amen. 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 Let's all stand. Let's have, if you have your Bibles, we're going to look in the book of Psalms chapter 42. Amen. We're going to pick up from a little bit from what we was talking about last time about spiritual nourishment. And if I had a subtitle to this, would be The Deep Calls to the Deep. Amen. And we're going to read from Psalm 42, and then we're going to read Matthew chapter 4, 3 and 4. And before we read, let's just all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all your blessings on us, Lord. And Lord, we're just thankful, Lord, that we're able to stand here, the purchase of your precious blood, Lord Jesus. Lord, we are your possession, Lord Jesus. You bought us with a price. Lord, we're no longer our own. And Lord Jesus, we just stand here, Lord Jesus, in awe of you. Yes. Lord, for what you've done for us. Lord, we just pray you just come speak to us tonight. Lord, help us get out of the way. Yes. Lord, as we gather all in one mind and one accord. Lord, bless each one that's here. Lord, the ones that couldn't be here tonight. Lord, whatever the needs are, Father, we just commit them to you and all these needs, these requests, Lord. Lord, because we know that whatever the need is, whatever the question is, Lord, whatever the desire is, you are the answer to it. Lord, we commit ourselves into your hand in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Psalms 42, we're going to read the first two verses. And it says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? In saving time, we're just going to drop down to verse 7. And it says, deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. And I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forsaken me, forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And Matthew chapter 4, beginning at 3, and it says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Yeah. Amen. You may be seated tonight. And as we were speaking of last time, nourishment. You know, we know this comes from the Word. Man. And here Jesus speaking to Satan when he came to tempt him, and he spoke to him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we know that's where we get our sustainment from, our nourishment. Everything that we have need of comes from the Word. And, you know, here in the book of, in Psalms, David is speaking, and he's crying out, and he says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks. And, you know, when you see he has this great desire, he said, my soul thirsteth after God. And, you know, Brother Bram talked about God put a thirst in every man that has a desire, and that was for God. And God's the only one that can fill that desire, that thirst that you have. And you have to seek after God. And, you know, when you see he has this desire, and he's speaking of all the things that he had been through and through the different things. But he said, there's something on the inside crying out. He said, as the deep calleth to the deep at the noise of the water spouts. You know, if you're in that desire, you have that thirst, and you're looking for something, you're desiring something. All it took, like Brother Bram was talking about, was the deer, and he was talking about the heart. He said all he had to do is just smell that get the hint, the scent of water, and you know it just drove him to go, even though he was in death's grip, and you know everything was against him, and you know he didn't have a lot of time, but he could just smell that water, and he knew there was something there for him. You know, he knew where he could go and refresh himself and get what he needed was that water. And it's the same way with God. If you desire something, and if you need something, there's a place to go to, and you can go to that place and get exactly what you have need of, and it'll meet every one of your needs. And all you have to do is, because he said, as the deep calleth to the deep, if there's something on the inside crying out, he said, there's a deep to respond to that. And so the thing is many people are looking for different things, but praise God, I have found that when you're calling out to God, then God comes and answers. And praise God, because before we ever had a need, before we ever had a desire, there was the desire to be met was already there. Whatever we had need of was already supplied. It was there because if we never, as Brother Branham said, if there was never any water, then it wouldn't have been a fin on the fish's back. But praise God, whatever we had need of was already waiting on us before we got here. Everything that you had need of, it was already there. And all you have to do is just drink it in and receive it, because it's there for you. And you know, here is David speaking. And you know, when you look at, as we were speaking of last time, and you're talking about, you know, the health and you know, receiving nourishment and growing and receiving what you have need of. And what caught my attention here in verse 11, and he says, I will yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. And so here's David speaking of this, and he's calling out for this deep calling to the deep. And he said he's receiving this, and he spoke about God, what God has for me. And he said his loving kindness and all these things is for me, and I have all these things, and he is my rock, and he's my defense, he's my fortress. All the things that I have need of, here he is. But he's also talking about he is the health of my countenance. And you know, one of the things that we were talking about when we were looking at this receiving spiritual nourishment. You know, when you go through things in life and you have these things, when you see these things taking place, you know, there is a desire that's reaching out, but you know, there's a manifestation of what you're looking for. There's a manifestation of these things. And I believe it was Brother Isaac, I believe it was listening to him the other day. And, you know, he was talking about people going through different things in their life and facing different situations. And you know, he's talking about ministers and pastors and all. You know, they don't need to have discernment, because lots of times you can just tell by looking at somebody what the situation is. And, you know, one of the things, as we were talking about, even in the natural, when you look at things in people's lives, and when you look at people and you see that they are not receiving the nourishment that they need, they're not receiving the things that they have need of, they're longing for things, they're lacking things in their lives. Well, you know, if even in the natural, you don't have to be a genius to look at somebody and realize they need help. You know, you can look at somebody and tell there's something wrong with the person just by looking at them. And it's the same way in the natural typing the spiritual, because sometimes it's the same thing, because somebody, you see somebody in the church or somebody, and you realize everybody around them knows what their need is. The only person that don't realize what they need is the person that's in need. Everybody else can see what their problem is. Because, you know, as the old saying is, you can fool some people all the time, and you can fool all the people some of the time, but you can't fool everybody all the time. Because at some point in time, it's going to come manifest, and you can't hide it. And the one person, because lots of people, they spend lots of time trying to cover up things, and they don't want people to know. But the problem is the one that knows everything, knows the end from the beginning, is God. You can try to fool everybody else and try to hide and try to make everything okay, but God knows the truth. And you're not ever going to hide from Him. Because you know what? Even because you can play church and you can play everything's okay and go through life and everything's hunky-dory and whatever, but you know what? In the end, you still got to give an account to God. And we still have to give an account to God. And so the one thing we got to realize is, if there's a need, you know what? Then He is calling out to us that we can receive what we have need of. Because we realize, you know, to have a nourishment, as the definition of nourishment, you know, is to meet every single one of your needs. As we said last time, it says to nourish someone means to provide what's needed for their growth, health, and well-being, which goes beyond just physical food to include emotional, mental, and spiritual support through encouragement, care, and fostering their development. It involves sustaining life, fostering dreams, strengthening beliefs, and building up a person or relationship so they can thrive and reach their potential. So that is what we need when we're talking about nourishing somebody, is to bring them all the way up to the place. Because it's just like trying, you know, so we're talking about raising children. You know, the thing is not just to meet their physical needs, but they have emotional needs. They have spiritual needs. So not just trying to raise them up. And, you know, because one of the things that you can spend all your time trying to raise your children and making sure they have all kinds of great things. And, you know, you want to have them have a great future. And you can spend a lot of time spending and trying to help them grow academically and socially and musically and athletically and all these type things. But the problem is people have spent all of their time trying to build all of these things up to give their children every chance in the world to be successful. But the problem is they don't spend any time trying to help them grow spiritually. And the problem is because if you're spiritually void, there's no way that you're going to grow, try to help anybody else grow spiritually. Because people are absolute void of understanding, and they've turned God down because it just becomes a ritual. Amen. It's just some kind of idea. Yeah. And the problem is the children are lacking. Yeah. You see children, they're longing for something, and it's like, well, the parents don't even have the truth. They don't even understand the truth. Right. And you have children that are longing, and people wonder why children have been in this message, and they grow up in this message, they turn around and walk away. Why? Because there's parents out there. They got no clue. I mean, they've got the books, they got the tapes, they got the pictures. The problem is they know all the quotes. They can go through all the rituals. They know all that, and they don't have the first idea who God is. They've never had a personal experience with God for themselves. And the children come to a place in their lives that realize, hey, you know what? I'm looking for something that's real. I'm looking for something that's genuine. And see, that's the reason that it's so important for you and I as believers to be true and genuine. Because, you know, the thing is the devil comes along and the first thing he wants to do, he wants to point out all of the counterfeits. He wants to pull out all the hypocrites. He wants to point out everybody that's a stumbling block. And that's the only people that the children get to see. Because the devil, he sits on your shoulder, and the first thing he says is, "We go to this person. Look at what happened in the church, and this person, and that person. Look at this and that." And the problem is they never show you somebody that's rock solid on the Word, that's a real true believer. Somebody that's rooted and grounded, and really can show you who the love of God and the life of God being on display in their life. That's not the person the devil's going to point out to you. Every time, look at what they said. Look what they did. See, that's what the devil's job is.
That's right.
The devil's job, he's there to hinder, absolutely, to hold back.
Right.
That's the reason it's so important for us as believers to pray and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. To know what needs to be the one to express these things to other people, that God can show himself through us. Hey, you know, because, you know, we all fall, we all fail, we all have problems. Because if you don't have any problems, if you don't fall and fail and have to pick yourself up, dust yourself off and keep going, then pray for me. Because I need all the help I can get.
Amen.
But you know what? I'm not stopping. And just, and you know, and just because, and I don't want anybody to hurt anybody's feelings, or, you know, because I want to be an encouragement to people. Because, you know, the thing is I've seen young people in this church. They come and they sit in here, and, you know, I've seen the devil work on them. And you don't have to have discernment to know it. I've seen our young people sit in this church, and the devil work all over them, and beat them up, and discourage them to get them out of here. And the first thing they do, they're gone. But you know, you stand up here because I have stood right here. I know. I don't claim to be a very spiritual person, as some people are. But you know, I do know the Lord has spoke to me, and sometimes I realize that I'm too dumb, hard headed. Sometimes when the Lord talks to me, that I don't listen. I'm not in tune with the Holy Spirit sometimes to do exactly what needs to be done. And then when you know, like they say, hindsight's 20/20. Then you realize, oh, I should have done better. And you don't. I've seen times where people, but you know, I have been in the pulpit and I've seen our young people sit in this church and seen the condition that they're in. And you know, the thing is that they have allowed the devil to beat them up and hinder them. And some of them are not here tonight. They don't even come to church anymore. But you know what? That doesn't change the law of God.
Amen.
That doesn't change the Word of God.
Amen.
Because if you know what? They were in this church. They've been dedicated to God. They've been put in the hands of God. And you know what? The devil can only keep his hands on them for so long.
Amen.
I just believe that with everything that's in me.
Amen.
Why? Because God has blessed us and given us these things, and they're our rights. They're our God-given rights. And we don't have to back up to the devil. But you know, I've stood right here and I've seen, and it's like, and I've spoke to the young people from this pulpit and seeing the devil just lay all over the top of them. Just bind them down and just crush them. But you know what? That don't change the fact that God is still God and God is still in charge. And you know what? The devil can have his run, but praise God, I believe what the Word said. He said, because we commit them to God, and he said, you'll be there with your offspring, and they're going to come in, and it doesn't matter what the devil does, how the winds blow, whatever takes place, because we still got our faith in the Word of God. Because if God has drawn us out of the miry pit of clay, and if he brought us out of the lowest hell, and he brought us to this place, and he allowed us to come to this place, and you know what? He's still got a fountain flowing to cover us when we fall and fail. You know what? We can still go under the blood, and God puts it in the sea of his forgetfulness, and you know what? We're still just pressing toward the mark of the high calling. Then guess what? We're still going to claim our children. Whew. I don't know about y'all. I'm just tired of the devil. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Why? Because God has promised us something, and then we can receive what we've been promised. See, if you have need of anything, then just get into the Word of God and claim it, and receive all those things. You know, you see the things that have taken place, and you realize that, you know, as we were talking last time, you know, when God calls a person in, and you're growing in the grace of knowledge of God, and he's bringing you on this journey. Well, you know, God has called you to a place that as Brother Bram was talking about El Shaddai. You know, there's a place that you can come to, and you can draw all that you have need of from God, because all that you have need of is right there. You can draw and receive every benefit that you have need of, and all you got to do is just draw and just get what you have need of. but there's a place, and the problem with some people is that they've got to a certain point, but you know what? You've got to go beyond that. I mean, because the Scripture tells us, you know, the problem is, you know, there's a time when you have milk, but now you've got to go beyond that, because now's the time to come to a place for meat. Because now, because the meat belongs to those that are a full age, so it's time to grow up beyond that point to come to a place where you can receive all that God has for you. There's benefits that you can receive, but you cannot receive them drinking milk. I was listening to Brother John Andes the other day, and he had such a good dramatization. It was so funny, but he was talking about, you know, it's like babies. You know, they're so drawn to the milk, and they're just holding on, but there's a time where you've got to be weaned from that. You've got to come beyond that, because there's a time for that, but now's the time to move on. Because you know what? When you reach a certain stage, you know what? Milk is not going to meet your needs. You're not going to be able to grow to receive all the nourishment, all the things that you have need of being the baby. But it's like, you see babies and they just hang on because, you know, you try to pull them away. Well, the first thing you do, they just cry and pitch a fit. Why? Because all they want to do is go right back to the milk. But he said there's a time, God's not going to allow you to stay at that point. You got to get off the milk. Amen. And he said, what do? They just pitch a fit. And, you know, they just cry the whole time. And they just hang on even tighter to the things that they... But that's not what God has for you. Amen. God is calling you beyond that point to grow up. Amen. Because you can only receive so much from the milk. Amen. Because now is the time that you've got to go beyond that to get to the place where you can receive the meat of the Word. Amen. And people are just hanging on, and they're crying over because of God. Well, I don't know why things are happening the way they are. God's trying to get you off the milk. God's trying to get you off the bottle. Why? Because there's more things for you. But if you've been on it for 20, 30 years and you're still hanging on to the bottle, we got to get rid of that. We got to get rid of that mentality. Lord, help me, because I don't want to be a hindrance. And sometimes the biggest hindrance I got is me. Aaron Roberts, looking at him, say, I don't want, because everybody's like, well, Brother Wade or, you know, whoever else, this is the problem, that's the problem. No, the problem is the one I'm looking at. That's right. Like the old song, it ain't my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. Amen. I'm the one that needs it. I'm the one that needs to grow up. I'm the one that needs correction. I'm the one that needs guidance to grow up. Because I can't stay the same place that I was before. I can't be the same Aaron Roberts that's always been, because there's a time and a place, and now's the time and the place that we've got to grow up. We've got to manifest the Word in a greater way, because all the other ages have had their Word, and they've manifested their Word, and they've done their part, and now it's come to us for us to grow to the place that we've got to take the Word that's been given for our day and manifest it. See, we've got to receive what's been given for us. You can't be in the same place year after year after year. As you begin to grow, see, you got to have more. You got to have more of the same thing. But it's got to be in a greater revelation. It's got to be in a greater portion. When a baby's born, you know, they have all, you know, most everything, you know, I mean, I know there's a few vitamins and different things that take place as they grow up and they develop, but you know, I mean, most of the time when you look at a baby, you know, they've got calcium and iron and they've got all of these things in their body that makes them up. And then, you know, here they are, but the thing is, you know, when you're born, here's this baby. And they're just a perfect little baby. Got all its fingers and toes and everything. And they're just cute as they can be. And you just see them and they have everything. But you know what? But if they're going to grow into what God wants them to be, what we want them to be, then you know what? They've got to grow beyond all of that. We just want to tote them all around and pat them and rock them and sing to them and everything like that. No. There's a time, you know what? Because there's something that's that's inside of them. That, you know what? When you watch a little kid when they start growing up, what they start doing? They start figuring out, hey, I can get around. You just lay them on their back. Well, after a while, you know what? They begin to figure out, I can roll over. As soon as they get to figure out, hey, I got hands and feet. You know, all of a sudden they realize that, hey, these belong to me. But first thing you know, they got to grab a hold of everything. It's everything. And the next thing, if they get a hold of something, next thing you know, it's got to go in their mouth. We got to figure out what everything tastes like. But you know, when they get to a point, they start moving around, and next thing you know, when was the last time? Well, now listen, you're going to have to start learning how to walk. No, you just let them get around for a little bit. Next thing you know, they're going to find a wall. Yeah. They're going to find a chair.
That's right. Amen.
Why? Because there's something down on the inside of them. They're going to start getting up. They start pulling themselves up.
Right.
You know, you don't have to pull out the baby book and read Dr. Spock or whoever.
Yeah.
Listen, Junior. It says right here that at a certain age, you're going to have to start learning how to walk. You're going to start sitting up.
Right.
Well, it's built inside them because they're a human.
Amen.
They're going to start getting up, and they're going to start pulling up. They're going to start trying to learn how to walk.
Amen.
Anyway, you're just helping them along the way. But you know what? There's something down on the inside that wants to do that.
Amen.
There's something down on the inside that wants to go that way.
Right.
Well, if you're a human and there's something on the inside that's calling you to come up, that's causing you to drive to that point, there's something on the inside that's being manifested. Well, in the same way with a Christian, there's something down on the inside where you want to come up, where you want to start pulling yourself up. You want to start advancing. You want to start growing because there's more to know than just being a baby. There's other things that's got to be expressed. Well, now's the time you got to come to the place and say, well, you know, I don't have everything. But you know what? You can know where you are with God at any time. And wherever you are with God, then you know what? There's a time for you to come up higher, to come up and go further than where you were before. And now is the time to do that. If God has called you into this body, then there's a place and a purpose for you that you've got to come to, that you begin to express what's on the inside. And you got to come to the place that you're supposed to come to, not the place where everybody else is supposed to come to. Because there's a place for each one individual person. But you got to know where you're supposed to be at, what your position is. Not everybody's got the same position, but you've got to know where you need to be. What has God called you to do? What has God called? Where's the place that God has called you? Because you've got to come to that place. God's calling each one of us to our own place. But one of the things that happens when you're a child, when you begin to grow up, then, you know, it's like you see them and the children grow up, and then all of a sudden they get to this place. Well, I want to do it myself. I want to do it myself. It's all me. It's all me. I got to do it. You can't help me. I got to do it. And you stand there and tell them, listen, don't stick your finger in the light socket. Don't touch that. That's hot. Don't do this and don't do that. But you know what? You can tell them and tell them and tell them. But you know, they go along and all of a sudden they see little slots in the wall and they get something that's metal. It's like, hey, what is this? Well, they get a hold of something, realize there's something there. It's like, you know, I'm going to leave that alone. Well, you can tell them. How many times you stand there and tell them, that's hot, that's hot, that's hot. Don't pull on that. That weighs more than you do. It's like, don't climb on that. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, they're pulling something down off the shelf onto them. Next thing you know, they're laying under the bottom of it. And they can't get up. Well, you know what? They realize, hey, you know what? Don't mess with that because that weighs more than you do. That's heavier. Yeah, right. You got a knot on your head. It's like, well, you leave that alone. Right. And it's the same way with growing up in the spiritual because God will begin to speak to you and say, don't do this, don't do that. But you know what the problem is? In our spiritual journey, we've all come along. We got knots on our heads because God's tried to talk to us and tried to raise us up. And you know what? We just don't listen. We get knocked around a little bit, get bruised, get scraped up. Why? Because we're children, because we're growing up. But there's a place to keep. You don't have to keep going to the same place and keep sticking your finger in a light socket all the time. Keep trying to climb on the furniture and falling off and banging your head. There's a time when you quit doing that. And it's the same way in the spiritual. There's a place where you got to keep growing up, where you get beyond all these things. Where the pastor don't have to keep telling you, don't do this and do this and don't do that. And you know, and it's like, because after a certain point, it should become second nature to you because actually it should be your first nature because that should be the one that the Holy Spirit is leading you to bringing you to that place where you don't have to have somebody tell you that. Amen. But see, the thing is we miss out on all of the blessings of God. We miss out on all these things because we don't come to the place where God wants us to. Amen. But see, we have to realize that when you lack something and you realize that, hey, I'm needing something. I got to get something from God. These things are in my life and I'm looking for something. I want to draw from these things. Well, then you come to the house of God and realize you come to the house of God to get these things. Right. You get them out of the Word. And the problem is people come to the house of God, and this is the only time they ever crack the Bible. It's the only time they ever listen to the message. It's the only time they ever do anything, because it's just when they come to the house of God. Now I'm here to bring my cup, and I just want the preacher to fill it up. I'm waiting on Brother Wade to fill up my cup. And it's like, well, you know what? You've not prepared at all. When you come to the house of God, you've not read, you've not studied, you've not prayed, you've not done anything. So when you come to the house of God, then you wonder why things happen the way they do, and everybody, it seems like everybody else is growing leaps and bounds past you, and you wonder why you're in the condition that you're in. It's like, man, I wish I had some of that. Well, the problem is you've not put in the time, you've not put in the effort, you've not spent the time praying and seeking God. Well, the problem is if you never sow, then how are you ever going to reap? If you're not ever done it, put in the time, if you're not spending your time along with the Lord, then how you ever expect Him to talk to you? Because if you're not sowing the seed in, if you're not taking account of the Word and receiving the Word and meditating on the Word, then how's the Lord ever going to speak to you? How's He going to speak to you on the Word? Because sometimes people come to the house of God and the only thing that they hear is, you need to read your Bible and pray. Need to read your Bible and pray. Need to read your Bible and pray. Why? Because that's where they're at. Because that's where they stop. Amen. Amen. They've not went beyond that point. But when you come to that place and realize this is what I need, well, then you got to get in there, because you begin to see in time, you begin to see when you get into the Word and you begin to pray, then God begins to speak to you and tells you where you're at and what you're lacking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it begins to show, and the Word of God is a discerner and begins to discern your life and tell you what you have need of, what you're lacking, what you need. But the problem is when the discerner begins to speak to the people, when the Holy Ghost begins to speak to people, people get upset with it because they think it's some man that's meddling in their life.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Go ahead. But it's true. People get upset about it, and it's the same thing that they went around this mountain multiple times facing the same thing. And what is it? Because the Word of God is begin to deal with people, and they don't grow beyond that. And they wonder why they struggle with the same thing. Why? Because it's the same thing that they've always dealt with, and they haven't got beyond it. That's the reason it's so important for us to understand where we are and what we have need of. You know, Brother Brandon was speaking one time, and he was speaking of people. You know, when you get to this place, there's something on the inside that begins to cry out, that deep call to the deep. There's something on the inside crying out. And you look at people in their lives. I was thinking about Brother Luis the other day. And you're welcome, brother. But I was thinking about Brother Luis the other day. And you Brother Luis started out Catholic. Grew up in a Catholic church. That's all Brother Luis knew. It was Catholicism. I don't know how much he knew, but he went to church, and I guess you went to Mass and done all those things, you know, people lighting candles and all those things. But, you know, there's somewhere along the way, something in your family or you, something along the way caught your attention and began to stir inside of you. And next thing you know, you went to a different church. You were in the Baptist church or something. But, you know, there was something that caught their attention. Why? Because there's something that was greater light that was being shown than being in the Catholic church. That all of a sudden there was this greater light that's being shown, and all of a sudden you begin to walk in that. And, you know, each one of us can see the things in our lives where, you know, I remember being a child. You know, I've always been a child of the message. My whole life, I always tell everybody, you know, I cut my teeth on a message pew. That's all I've ever known. Ever since I've had a conscious thought, I've always known Brother Brown would be a prophet. That's all I've ever known. I remember the first time I ever went to a church. It was a church of God. I went to a church of God. And I heard Brother Bram talk about the different denominations and God's not there and all. The first time I ever went was in a church of God, as a boy, and I remember going in there and feeling the Holy Spirit drop down in the building and covering the whole place and people just worshiping and having a good time. And I was like, what's going on? It's like, well, the only time I ever saw that was being in a message church. And I know what the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit coming down in the building, filling the building, and being in His presence and knowing what that felt like. And then when I went to Church of God and the same thing happened, I'm thinking, what? But you know what? The thing is the Holy Spirit still moves. But it's because they've rejected the Word. Oh, they're still under that same anointing. The Holy Spirit is still moving on them. They still have gifts. But the problem is they don't know Him because they've turned the Word down. And many times people have the same experience being in the message. They know what the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit falls down, they know what it feels like to be in His presence and everything, but they've turned the Word down. They still come to a message church. They still look at books and they listen to all these other things. But you know what? They've not grown one bit. And God has spent His time speaking to them of what exactly what they have need of, and they have not received what He has spoke to them. But you know, along the way, Brother Luis, going to these different churches and having these different experiences, we've all experienced that at some point in our time where you've had these things happen to you, but God is bringing you from where you used to be to where you are today. And it's like, well, this is a little bit hard. It's a little bit unusual. You know, I'm a little bit uncertain about these things. But you know what? It takes a step of faith. It takes one step of faith and another step of faith. Because you got to be led by God. And it's like, I don't understand. Because, you know, no doubt, Brother Luis has had people come to him and like, well, why are you leaving the Baptist church? Why are you leaving this church? Why are you leaving that church? Because I'm following the Word. And you can try to explain that to people, but you know what? They're not going to understand that. It's not their experience, but it's your experience. You've got to come to a place, and it's like you can't have somebody else's experience. You've got to have experience for yourself. You've got to know that God's leading you and calling you to these things, calling you to a higher place, that God is leading you. Hey, somebody comes or goes or whatever, you know, as I've said many times, I know where God called me, and I don't know about the rest of you, and I can't answer for the rest of you, but I know where I'm supposed to be. And, you know, I mean, God bless them. Let people go do whatever they want to, but I know where I'm supposed to be. So, you know, but everybody's got to come to that place for themselves. But you know, if you're walking in the Word, then there comes a time when you begin to see the things that you're lacking, and you begin to search those things out. Because there was something, when they began to speak to you, Brother Luis, about the Word, there was something that began to speak that piqued your interest. There's somewhere along the way something caught your attention, and it began to pull you back to the Word. And you began to see the things in the Word. It's like, hey, you know, I'm going in this. And then there was another time when somebody come along and they began to show you more things. And then all of a sudden you say, oh, I like that. This even more things began to open up to you. And it's like, here, I'm going here. Well, it's the same way with us. As you begin to grow, these things begin to, you begin to see the things that you're lacking. And you begin to search these things out. You know, Brother Brown tells a story about that little baby. I don't know some of you probably read it before, some of you may have not. But you know, Brother Bram talks about a little baby that had a need for salt. Brother Bram talks about that baby needing salt, and you know, he found a salt shaker. Well, that became his best friend. Why? Because there was something down on the inside that's yearning for that salt. And everybody else didn't see the need that that child had for that salt. But that child, there was something on the inside. There was a deep calling to the deep on the inside of that child calling for that salt. And boy, when they got to that salt shaker, boy, let me tell you what, they weren't going to let go of it. Because that was life to them.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said, they come to the doctor and all of a sudden they took the salt away from that baby and not realizing what was taking place, because when they took the salt away from that baby died. And he said then when they went to the post-mortem and found out exactly what the baby was needing was that salt, and that's what it had found, and it kept searching till it found it, and it just began to consume the salt because that's exactly what kept it alive. Because it found exactly what it had need of. You know, Brother Brown talks about one time there was a lady that was eating 20 onions a day. She was addicted to onions, and because the doctor told her, quit eating all those onions. You don't need all those onions. And you know what? She died. Because they, when they done the post-mortem, Brother Brown said they found what was on the inside of her was needing what was in those onions. And that's exactly what caused her death, was because she listened to somebody else tell her, listen, you don't need that. That's not what you have need of. That's unusual. That's out of order. That's crazy. All this type of stuff. But it's exactly what that woman needed, and she began to eat on it, and she began to eat and eat and eat because there was a need down on the inside, because that was what that deep was calling for. And when she began to eat those, then she began to thrive. But as soon as she listened to somebody tell her she didn't need that, then it caused her death. And then, you know, the story that we know the most is when that little boy was eating the bicycle pedal off the bicycle and eating all the rubber that he could get a hold of because his body was needing sulfur. There was something on the inside down on the, because I'm talking about that deep calling to the deep. There was something down on the inside because his body needed sulfur. And you know, the first two, they died because somebody talked them out of receiving what they had need of. But you know what? They took that little boy to the doctor. And the doctor began to do an examination on that little boy and found out he needed sulfur. And when they found out that boy needed sulfur, then they began to give him sulfur, and he began to thrive.
Yeah, right.
And see, the thing is when you have somebody that's not in the Word, because you know what you have need of, because there's something on the inside that's lacking that you're crying out for. There's a deep calling to the deep. Well, then the thing is the Holy Spirit is here calling to you for what you have need of. And all you got to do is whatever you're looking for, then it's here, but you got to get it. But you can't listen to somebody else and tell you, oh, that's for a bygone day. That's old foginess and everything like that. And that's hocus pocus. And don't listen to none of that. And, you know, they're off the Word and all these kind of things. The problem is you've got to come to the place where you realize what you need, because God is speaking to you, and you've got to feed on the Word, because the deep is on the inside of you calling out. Now you not listen to somebody else tell about it, because just like those other people, when the need was there, when that deep was calling out, if they didn't answer the deep, it caused their death. But there was one that come to the place, and there was a doctor, and there's a great physician that can lead you and tell you exactly what you have need of. And you know what? If he's here tonight, then he will do the exact same thing for you, because he'll bring you to the place and you say, this is what I have need of. This is what I'm longing for. What's on the inside that's calling out? Well, then guess what? He'll put somebody behind the pulpit and he'll begin to speak to you, and it'll bring you to the place exactly what you have need of will speak to you, and it'll answer that deep that's calling on the inside.
Amen.
Why? Because it's real. I was thinking about Brother Richard Negron the other day. You know, because there was something down on the inside that began to call. And you know, Brother, hey, you know, Well, you know what? We're in the message. And you know, this we just sit right over here. But you know, there was something down on the inside that began to call. And you know what? All of a sudden he began to search. You know what? Because there's more than what I've got. Somebody's got more than what I've got, and there's something on the inside calling out. And there's a deep that's calling out. Well, there's a deep to respond to that. Then all you got to do is search it out. Well, you know, he got on the internet. He began to look and he began to search and search and search. Well, praise God. You know, if you're looking for something, then God will lead you to that place. He's going to lead you. Well, you may have to do a little search, and it may not come the first day. It may not come the second day. It may not come the first month. I don't know how long it's going to take, but you know what? You keep searching, and you keep searching, and you keep searching, because you know what? You don't give up on that search, because if there's a desire down on the inside, then at some point in time, it's going to cross your path. And then all of a sudden, Brother Richard found Brother Dale listening online, and all of a sudden, it began to speak to him, and he began to receive what he had need of. Well, then it was just like a sponge, just soaking it all in. Boy, it's good. But you know what? It satisfied the longing that he had. Not everybody understood that. You know, Brother Isaac and them was like, Dad, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he began to talk to him about the Word. The Word's opening up to me. I'm having a feast over here. I don't know about you, but I'm having a feast. I'm having a great time. What's the same thing? When the Word begins to open up, when you see the things that you have need of and it becomes real to you and you begin to feast on it. Just like that little bear that Brother Bram talking about, them bears down in the woods. He got a hold of that molasses. You know, nobody's going to talk him out of that. He's standing there watching his brother and his mother over there, and his mom kept cooing to him. Come on now. Come on, Junior. Get out away from that. Yep. No, he found what he was looking for. He got that little paw down in there, and he said he's just licking it up. Had his eyes all matted together. He's all over him. He wasn't going to stop till he ate the whole thing. Why? Because it was real. It was something that satisfied something that was down on the inside of him that he kept going after and he kept going after. And Brother Branham said, when he got his full, his fill, and he was full, and he began to walk away and go back, then what did Brother Branham say? He said, then his mom and his brother began to lick all over him because now he was covered in it and they could smell that. And it's like, oh, yeah, we want some of that. Well, he said, Brother Bram said, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. See, when you get into that, you know what? Then you don't worry about what else going on around or whatever like that. You're enjoying the feast. So you got to get in there and get your portion. You know, several times when Brother Bram tells the story about that little boy with the sulfur, you'll go and read, and Brother Bram talks about Simeon being in the temple. And here's Simeon being in the temple. And God gave him a promise. There was one thing that Simeon desired, and that's to see the fulfillment of the Word for his day. As so many people talked about it, they had read about it, all these type things, all the way through the Scripture, the Lord's coming, the Messiah's coming, the Lord's Christ. This is what I want to see. I want to see the fulfillment of the Word. This is the word for my day. An old man, gray hair, one foot in the grave, one on a banana peel. Just getting older until God gave him a promise. He said, you won't see death till you see the Lord's Christ. There he was walking along telling everybody, you know what? I'm going to see the Messiah. The Messiah is coming. We can't come now. It's ridiculous. We've had thousands of prophets, great prophets that have come and spoke. Look at all the things that have happened, and now we're being ruled by the Romans, and nothing's the glorious days of Solomon and all these type of things. And you're saying the Messiah is going to come? Everybody had their own mentality of what was going to take place, how great it was going to be, and. But Simeon didn't worry about any of that. He took the word of God that was given to him. Amen. Because God made him that promise. And when God made Simeon that promise, then it was up to God to fulfill it. Amen. But he stood there and began to testify, I'm going to see the Lord's Christ. And he kept going on. And he kept walking. And, you know, he got older and he had more health problems and everything else. But, you know, it didn't change him. He still kept testifying to what was going to take place. And he was sitting in the temple. And Brother Branham said one day he was sitting there and he began to read the scripture. And he began to read the scriptures about the Messiah. And what was going to take place. And how glorious it was going to be. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit come to Simeon and told him, said, now's the time. Now's the time. And he got up and he began to walk down through there. Walk in the temple. All of those women there, all those babies. But he carried him right to the place. And he saw Mary. And he saw Jesus. And he took him and laid his hands on him, you know, held him and said, this is, he said, Lord, let your servant depart in peace because my eyes have seen thy salvation. Amen. I'm standing there holding the word, holding the fulfillment of the word for my day. This is the word for my day. This is the fulfillment. This is the promise that God made me. Amen. And I'm standing in the midst of it and I'm holding on to it and I'm seeing it and nobody else sees it and nobody else understands it. Right. But you know, Here's Mary. She's the only one that understood anything like that. But, you know, even it blew her mind. But you know what? She had angel visitation. She understood that what had taken place because she had to have faith when nobody else believed what she said. She had to believe what Gabriel told her. And here's Simeon. God spoke to him, and he's standing there looking at this, and there's the fulfillment of the word, and he's rejoicing because God has brought him to this place. I love that song that it was written many years ago, and it says, my eyes have seen salvation on his face. These hands have touched amazing grace. My ears have heard the voice of God's own choice. I've smelt the rose in bloom. Yes, I've been to heaven, but I never left the room. When they met Jesus Christ, when they see Jesus Christ, they're standing in the midst of heavenly places, and there's Simeon standing there in the fulfillment of the word for his day, and he's rejoicing, and nobody else sees what's going on, but it's just to him. But it's the way it was the promise that was made to Simeon. And it's the same way with you and I. You can come to church and just look at the walls and hear somebody just preach. But you know what? You can come to the place where you're standing in heavenly places and God begins to speak to you and it's just between you and God. And the Holy Spirit comes down and he begins to reveal the word to you and he begins to show you things that he don't show nobody else. But it's just between you and God. It's just between you and your lover as he begins to reveal things to you and he begins to speak to you and it's just to you and it's just precious to you because it's not to anybody else. Brothers and sisters, it's personal. It's got to be a personal revelation. It's got to be a personal experience. Oh, how great it is that he brings these things to us. See, you realize that God brought this. And Brother Ram's talking about Simeon receiving the word for his day. He said that God was obligated to Simeon to bring the word to him. It was to bring him to that place. And you know, it was Simeon's place when God brought him to that place, when he had that word, then it came to the place that Simeon had to come to the place where he had to get up and go walk to where Jesus was. To see the word made manifest, he had to come. And Brother Branham says, see, just like that little boy that had that desire, he said, see, just like he was obligated to bring sulfur to his body and obligated to bring water to the fish, see, God's obligated to you tonight, amen. He said, that believe in divine healing to bring you to the fountain. Amen. He said, that's why you're here tonight. The same Holy Ghost that led Simeon up to the Christ because he had promised it, he said, you've read it in the Bible, you believe it, the same Holy Ghost led you here tonight. It's the same thing. So the same thing that he done for Simeon, and he brought that little boy, he brought because there was sulfur for that little boy. But you know, he had to go find it. But there was sulfur for that little boy for his body. And it's the same way with you and I, that the word has come to us, and you've got to come to the place to receive that. The word has come, but you've got to take part of it. Just like in Revelation 10, when the mighty angel comes down with that open book and he stands there And he comes down. And he begins to say, the time will be no longer. And he stands there. And then all of a sudden, the voice speaks to John and tells him, go and take the book out of the hand of the angel. The angel didn't come to John and just give him the book. But he came down, and it was an open book, and he began to express these things. And all of a sudden, then the angel, the voice began to speak to John. Now is your time for you to step forth and take a hold of the book.
Amen.
And he said, take the book. He said, give me the book. And the angel said, take it. Well, then he took the book out of the hand of the angel. Why? Because it was showing that it would belong to him. It was for John. It was for the bride. It was personal to him that he had to eat the book.
Amen.
And what he had need of was right there.
Amen. Right.
And brothers and sisters, it's the same way with you and I. If the word has come, then you've got to take a hold of the word.
Amen.
Yeah, God can bring it to a certain place, but after that, you've got to take a hold of it. It's your possession, but you've got to call for it.
Amen.
You've got to reach out and grab a hold of it.
Right.
If you want an experience, then you've got to get a hold of it.
Amen.
See, when you come to that place, you've got to take it. It belongs to you. You've got to have it.
Brother
Brown was speaking of the eagles. Where the carcass is, there the eagles be gathered together. The word has come forth. The eagle, the carrion has come forth. But you know what? The eagles have got to come to where the eagle food is. You've got to come to that place where the eagle food is. Let's have the musicians come. But you know, you got to come to where that eagle food is.
Amen.
You got to come to where it belongs to you.
Yes.
Just like Brother Bram talking about that little eagle in the barnyard. He was down there in the midst of all that. And you know what? There was a lot of things that were there that he couldn't stomach.
Right.
He couldn't feast on. It didn't belong to him.
Right.
It wasn't where he was supposed to be.
Right.
But you know what? There was a voice that spoke to him and told him who he was and where he was supposed to come to. And all of a sudden there was something down on the inside that began to answer to that and realize, you know what? I'm not down here in the barn. I might be in the barnyard right now, but this ain't my place to be. There's a place that's higher than this. And all of a sudden he got to the place where his mom began to cry out to him. It's like, listen, this is where you need to be. Well, you know what? He began to flap his wings because he realized, you know what? He didn't have to be in the barnyard anymore because this wasn't his place. Well, he realized when the word went forth and it began to speak to him and call him, that it was calling for him to come up higher.
Yes, right.
Then it was a place for him to come to because it was eagle's food for him.
Right.
And he said, when you come to the eagle's food, he said, you leave all the rest of it behind. There's a place you come to.
Right.
Amen. You believe that?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Let's all stand. We'll sing a song.
There is coming a day where no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. Jesus, I shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day.
The Lord. Amen. God bless you tonight before we get ready to go. All hearts and minds clear. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to have Brother Luis, if you don't mind, Brother Luis. Come dismiss us in a word of prayer, brother.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, once again for the opportunity to have heard your word, Lord. Appreciate, Lord God, using our brother Aaron, Lord God, to speak the words of life unto us, Lord. Sometimes it could be cutting, Lord. Sometimes, Father God, it just to raise up our faith, Lord. But, Father God, all in all, it's your word, Lord. And, Father God, we just take it and receive it, Father, and apply it, Lord, where it needs to be applied. I pray that you give our brother strength, Lord God, and help him, Lord Jesus, we ask. Bless your people as we're heading back to our different places. Protect them, Lord God, and bring us back, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Father God, this Sunday, Lord, if it be your will. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Father, and we appreciate you, Father God, because you've given us a sure word in this hour, and all we got to do is just grab it like John had to grab the book, Lord. It's an open book, Lord, and you're offering it to us, Lord. Depends if we want it. How bad do we want it, Lord? And the bride, Father, wants it really, really bad. And we just thank you, Father God, for that. We love you and we ask and we commit these things into your hands in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.
Hearts cry. He's passing by this moment.